Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Let's get back to the wrench with these two tools. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. Anything you want to talk about from the weekend or beyond, you're more than welcome to do that. Nikola Jokic is back in Serbia. Did you see him at the horse races? That's fun.
I did. He kept talking about that. Hey, but did you see him at the... when he was turning up at the party?
Oh, yeah, he turned it up.
Yeah, he...
at the parade, he said, I love parades.
Yeah, he found out he was having fun at the... he found out that he could actually go out. But he also... I was watching a podcast with a couple Serbian guys. It's a video cast, and he just said his, like, English isn't his first language, and some of the, like, some of what he said was taken the wrong way.
No, it wasn't.
I felt like he knew exactly what he was saying as well, but he just... what he was trying to say is, after he just got done playing, his mind's not on any of that stuff. He's exhausted, and it wasn't on partying. It wasn't doing all that. He just wanted a break.
So, I just think he's too big to be a jockey, if you want to know the truth. This whole horse racing career that he's trying to start up.
I think it's owning horses.
How slow will his horse be if he tries to...
No, I don't think he's going to ride. Yeah. I don't think he and his brothers are going to ride. I think they're just owning horses, John. Yeah, I think it's owning horses.
I thought he wanted to go back to horse racing.
No. Mattress Mac, I think, used to own horses. I never saw him ride once.
No, that's true. That is true. But maybe it's the translation of what he said. I thought he said he wants to go back to ride.
No. He wants to get back to his horses. He didn't say ride.
I gotcha. Yeah, good. Well, good. I think he should own them and not. Did you see Gio Reyna this weekend?
Uh-huh.
Gio Reyna had the beautiful assist to... Bolagun?
And who is the new player who is going to on the U.S. men's national
fast.
Team. Who is very fast. Who's a striker. The U.S. men's national team won that CONCACAF trophy, All Nations or whatever.
Did you see the celebration in the locker room?
Yes.
Holy crap. They really enjoyed
themselves.
The soccer
community, this was a really big deal. The U.S. tore through teams and they finished off Canada yesterday. But, yeah, it's an exciting time for the U.S. You had... Corey Pulisic with a couple of goals and one of the, scored two goals in one of the matches. You had, like you said, Reyna, who a lot of people wanted to see play more last time out. You had the newest member, Olegun, who had a big right foot strike. I mean, boy, he just put it. It was a nice little through pass, and he near the goal, and he just put a foot on it quickly and explosive strike scored. It's exciting.
Well, and explosive acceleration.
Yeah.
He's running.
They got faster, and they got another striker. Like, this is a huge,
huge... He could have played for Nigeria or England or us.
You know what? We're going to the Final Four next
World
Cup. We're going to the Final Four next World Cup.
Wow. How about you? But it's nice to see... I mean, how uncomfortable... Do you think it's uncomfortable in the locker room with Gio and Berhalter?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they'll both go out of their way to be cool with each other, though.
Yeah, probably. And Gio Reyna probably has to be
Gio
on the
still
field
wants
this
to
time.
Play.
Well, yeah.
And I think Berhalter doesn't want any smoke or any... He doesn't want the microscope on it. So I think if both guys just chill out... And I think the Reyna's parents, you got to keep them away. But
no, yeah, they can't be.
I think it's actually going to be fine because there's been so much... tension in the past and such a microscope on this. I actually think both of them are going to probably try to make sure it works.
Yeah,
that's my guess.
Well,
that's my hope.
You would think so because Berhalter needs him and he needs Berhalter. So because Gio Reyna looked pretty damn good this week yesterday. So and a nice win, CONCACAF win. That's good stuff. Good stuff. For the U.S. team. And you're right. We look a lot better. We look a lot faster. That's one of the things about the U.S. I don't know why. We have a lot of fast people in this country. How come our soccer team isn't?
Yeah, it's we've got to be one of the fastest teams. Every single year we should be.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Texans were out at camp. D'Amico Ryans had his son out there with him for camp, which was awfully nice. They're done now with their mini camp, and the Texans appear to be a team that is better. Here is a headline: Is the Texans receiving core the NFL's worst? And the answer is an emphatic yes. I don't think that
worst in the league.
It's the worst in the league, if not the Titans. If D-Hop goes to Tennessee, I think for sure the Texans are the worst. Because I think it's between the Texans and Tennessee for the worst receiving corps in the league.
Tennessee's
right?
Pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. The two of them together is worse than most any, right? And that's what we did. We played this game. If you combine the Texans and the Titans, you'd still have one of the worst receiving corps in the league.
Well, we played, yeah. I think we added the Colts in there. Because they have Michael Pittman, but I'm not sure where Alex Pierce fits in yet. He's only got a year under his belt.
I'll take both of them.
You could almost take the AFC South. Actually, we did do. We expanded it to the South because the only one we could get from the, Calvin Ridley. That's right, because Calvin Ridley was added.
Right.
So you did have Ridley. But even then, with Calvin Ridley and then, I don't know, Michael Pittman, number two? Because there is no D-Hop right now. It's no one with the Texans. It's no one with the. It's not Treylon Burks, Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, who didn't play last year, and who's your third wide receiver out of this? Is it? It's either going to be, your guy from Texas A&M.
Oh, Mike Evans. No.
Slot receiver.
Oh yeah.
Jacksonville.
Little guy, Chris Kirk.
Yeah, Christian. It's either Christian Kirk or Treylon Burks or. I'm not putting a rookie there. I'm not putting Tank Dell. I'm not putting John Metchie.
That's about it.
I guess
it's a pretty bad receiving core.
Yeah,
the whole AFC South. I think it's the worst position. It's the worst. One of the worst positions in the groups in the whole league of any group of any grouping. It might be one of the poorest in the entire league, if truth be told. They got a story here about Kenyon Green being ready possibly for camp. He underwent a procedure on his knee in March and hasn't been around. John Metchie, the third, Damian Pierce, and Jimmy Ward were not in attendance with Green. Jimmy Ward, Pierce was out. He was sick, and Jimmy Ward out due to personal reasons. And John Metchie had a hamstring this spring. So, the Texans need to get some players on the field, and those guys are all going to play a role, as a matter of fact. And unfortunately, they weren't around. I got a question for you, and this was a pretty good question on the show before ours. We'll do it on the other side, and it's got to do with pressure. Who's got the most pressure on them this season? And this segment was brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and their famous all-you-can-eat ribs. Stop by every Saturday at either location. All-you-can-eat ribs on Saturdays at Damaris Barbecue, both locations. You want those ribs. Time for me to talk about Chastain Ford and how wonderful it is. My son-in-law was in this weekend, and he loves my vehicle and asking me about it. My daughter bought her car. My daughter, bought her car from Chastain Ford because she came all the way here to get the car and drive it back to Oklahoma City because she got so much better a deal than she could have gotten anywhere else. And she researches this stuff. And she said, no, I have to buy it from Chastain Ford because it's the best deal that we have found on any vehicle. And that's what you get. You get unbelievable deals because they're working it hard. They're not marking up. They're not adding on. They're giving you that Ford car or truck or that pre-owned vehicle that's out there on the lot at a better price. And those pre-owned vehicles that are gold certified, the interest rates that you're getting, and this is kind of a big deal because you know how much money you're adding on with the interest rates. If you get a gold certified vehicle off of that lot, they're going to get you an unbelievable deal through the bank because those are great, great, or through Ford because those are great deals that they can do. And they're going to do all they can. They're going to work their hardest to make sure that you get that vehicle at the price you want it, at the price you have to have it, with no add-ons and no markups. Happens every single day. So if you're looking for that Ford car, truck, or pre-owned vehicle, ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
One wrong twist of your steering wheel and that'll be the end of you.
Now that you've purchased all the fine products and services mentioned in the last break, it's time to be mind-numbingly bored by these two guys, John and Lance, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios that has microphones and stuff on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 816 ESPN 90. I got a question for you. They had Dan Graziano on this morning. It was Max Kellerman, and I don't know who he was with. The boys, the other two were off. But ask the question, and just out of nowhere and without any really thinking about it, asked who has the most pressure on them this NFL football season? What player do you feel like there's a bunch of pressure on?
Oh, I'll tell you, give me about three. I think that the most pressure, it's easy to say a guy like Russell Wilson, but I think there are two that come to mind. One is Justin Herbert, for me. I think Justin Herbert needs to prove that he's more than just some stats. He's got to get some wins. But I think Josh Allen has some pressure on him. Because now we got, you know, a lot of people are saying, okay, Joe Burrow has passed Josh Allen, and he had some bad turnovers in the red zone. I think Josh Allen continues to have pressure. It's usually going to be quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So,
well, his answer was this, Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Well, here's why I agree with, and Max was like, all the guys that you could, I don't like that answer, Dan Graziano. What about Aaron Rodgers? What about Lamar Jackson? What about all the, and my thought was this, and Graziano didn't bring this up. Dude, those guys are all set. And oh, by the way, if Aaron Rodgers has a crappy season this season, you know what? Aaron Rodgers is going to be their starter next year because Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for 2 years, okay? If Josh Allen has a crappy season this season, you know what? Josh Allen is coming back. He's got to see. And, oh, by the way, he's set financially for the rest of his life. Tua's playing for a second contract, right? And if Tua doesn't perform well this year or Tua gets hurt again, the Dolphins are going in a different direction.
Okay, so you're looking at it, and it's not wrong. You're looking
That's
at it.
That's pressure. No.
So I wasn't looking at it whole in its entirety, including contractually.
To me, that's pressure. But when yeah. I've got bleep you money, which Aaron Rodgers does, which Josh Allen does, which Lamar Jackson does, I've got guaranteed contract. I've got guaranteed money.
Yeah, but they're playing for more than that.
No, I know they are. But add that. So is Tua. Add the no money thing to it, or not the big guaranteed money anyway.
Well, okay. So who's under the most pressure? If you take out just contract, who's under the most pressure?
Okay,
to shine at a high. Or, you
Aaron
know,
Rodgers. Or,
that might be the right answer. That might be the right answer, yeah.
With all
and it's New York.
Yes, yes.
And he's supposed to be, you know, you're bringing in all his guys.
Oh, the Jets fans already think that they're going to the – it's over. They're already planning parades in New York because Aaron Rodgers is there. Slow down, okay? First of all, you got to get through Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and whomever, Herbert. I don't think Russell Wilson has all that kind of pressure. Now, as far as his legacy goes, yes. But again, I mean, oh well. And I didn't do. And you know what? Russell Wilson's probably a Hall of Famer, regardless of what he does.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's won a World Series. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. I don't. You know, when I was thinking about Russell Wilson, I don't think. And he's toward the end of his career. See, Josh Allen's right now early, and he's trying to be in the same category. Right now, as Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow, and so those are considered right now the big three. Which I think Aaron Rodgers is still four for me. I think he's still up there really high. Jalen has to do it for more than a year. I mean, realistically, Jalen needs to prove that it's not just a one. He's had one good year,
yeah,
and so he's got to have more than one good year.
And Lamar needs to do
obviously
it.
He's in great shape. Yeah, Lamar's got to come back. Well, Lamar needs to come back and show he can be the guy from 19. Like, we're 3 years removed from 19 when he won MVP. Everyone says former MVP. That was 19. That's a long way away relative to football games. That's more than 50 games out that that happened. So he needs to come back. And I think there's pressure on Lamar Jackson this year coming back too. They gave him weapons. They drafted a first-round wide receiver. They gave Odell Beckham Jr. They gave him a boatload of money. There's a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson. Now, pressure is self-created, but I think that Josh Allen has unique pressure because Joe Burrow has this Joe Burrow swag and all this, and people love Joe Burrow. I think things are going to start to pile up on Josh Allen if he doesn't get to a Super Bowl. And especially if he didn't get to the – they've never been to an AFC. He hadn't been in an AFC championship game.
Who, Lamar? No.
No. Josh Allen.
No?
No. He really needs to get there and then eventually get over the hump because now, you know, you got Joe Burrow who's been to a Super Bowl. You got Pat Mahomes who's won multiple Super Bowls. And now you've got, you know, Josh Allen who is like a league leader for MVP all these years and then kind of trails off. He did not have a good year relative to the red zone last year and the way he needs to. I just think that I think Josh Allen has a unique, and I think there are some people who want him to fail too. I've noticed this weird anti-Josh Allen sentiment from some people. Not everybody, and I don't think it's wholesale, but I think a lot of people just say Mahomes and Burrow are the guys, or now they can throw in, you know, Jalen Hurts is coming off a great year. I think Allen has a – and don't mess around and let Aaron Rodgers have a big year and I mean
– Well, Josh Allen's going to have a big year. You know that.
Josh Allen's going to have a big year.
Yeah.
But Josh Allen now has – did you see the latest with Stephon Diggs that supposedly Ben Vilind says that from the Boston Globe says that he's heard from an inside source in Buffalo that Stephon Diggs, the thing that's made him upset is he's not happy with the offense. Is he's not happy with not having input and play calling. Like, what? First of all, you get a billion touches, a billion targets, a billion yards, touchdowns. He's a league leader. He's one of,
not in the playoff game he didn't. That's why he stormed off the field and he was
dude,
not.
What
he
did they do to take you away? I don't know. Yeah. The first thing I'd do is I want to take Stephon Diggs out of the mix because he gets targeted all the time.
Volin notes that Diggs was ranked in the top five in targets, 154, receptions, 108, yards, 1429, and touchdowns, 11. Since coming to Buffalo via trade prior to the 2020 season, Diggs' 484 targets are second only to Raiders wideout Davante Adams. But he's not a big enough part of the offense, apparently. He's a wide receiver in the NFL. Of course he's nuts. Of course he's a diva. I mean, if you're a cornerback or a wide receiver, your coordinator's going to have a problem with you, especially if you are a high profile.
Yes, across the board, like. D-Hop became one, like, doesn't ever want to practice, didn't at Houston for 3 years, and then didn't want to in Arizona either. You've got, you know, Brandon Cooks. We had issues with Brandon Cooks here. A.J. Brown. Because they always delete everything off their social media and turn into stories, and it just seems like they have to make it harder. Wide receivers, but
this sounds like it's a Ken Dorsey problem. Did he have a problem with Daboll?
No, I think it probably is a Ken Dorsey problem. But why do you have to not practice? Like, what are you trying to say?
You trying to say
he showed up at practice?
Listen to me.
He didn't take. Dude, no offense, but. There's better ways to handle this, Stephon Diggs.
I mean, apparently he was there. Listen, they've got to placate him. McDermott said everything right. You know, oh, no, we love him, and he was there, and you guys don't know, and blah, 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 bing, all this stuff. But when you got a diva wide receiver, you got to listen.
It makes things tougher because it can have an impact on your play calling. If you are trying to placate a wideout, it can change. A, it makes you more predictable, and B, it can change how you want. You know, I think that was one of the problems with Odell Beckham Jr. is in New York and then in Cleveland, there were certain, you know, when Odell Beckham Jr. was with another top-tier wide receiver, it wasn't an issue.
No.
But when he felt like he should have been the guy getting the most targets and things like that, when you start forcing it, or if you don't have a really good quarterback, it can be a real problem. I think with a great quarterback, it can alleviate some of that. And Stephon Diggs is great. He should get a ton of touches. But I don't understand what his problem is.
But he does.
He does.
That's the problem.
No, that's what I'm saying. He does. And so I'm not understanding why he's not even, like, he shows up at practice but is not practicing with the team. And you're trying to win a, I don't know. It's just always about the wide receiver. It just feels like it's never about the team. That's unfortunate for Stephon Diggs, too. He showed up as quarterback last year. He doubled down in the offseason, you know. In the offseason, after the game, he doubled down. Now he's showing up at practice but not taking part in any practices. He wants to have play calling input. It just gets to be a point where you're like, dude, we can't – like, this can't be the Stephon Diggs Bills.
Yeah. Well, right.
Truth be told, they need to run the football better need to run the football better to win.
The last image that we saw of Stephon Diggs last year was him pissed off, walking off, wouldn't talk to the media because he wasn't a major part of the offense. You know what? Maybe that's – he wanted to be the man. Okay. All right. You know what? He's a talented guy. I don't think he wants it. If you want to know the truth, I don't think he wants another great wide receiver on the other side because it's going to take away from his touches. Won't it?
That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
And supposedly he wants – like there's some people who believe that he wants more help over there, wide receiver. Does he? Because I feel like Stephon Diggs will not handle it well if he's not getting looks.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I feel like if you find a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and he all of a sudden – is up in the 95 target range, I just feel like that's going to cause a lot of issues with Diggs. I really do. I wonder about that too. Like, do you want more wide receiver help? Because I think it'd be great for Buffalo to have a second receiver that they feel like is more of a, you know, can be a, instead of just a vertical guy like Gabe Davis, to be a guy who can go win some throws and can be a heavily targeted guy when, you know, from a football standpoint, you'd love to have a second guy who can handle the heavy lifting. You'd love to have that. I mean, that was Odell Beckham Jr. frankly really helped when he was added because he was playing really well for the Rams, much better than he had played with Cleveland, and it took a little bit of pressure off of Cooper Kupp. But I just wonder if Stephon Diggs is going to be a good teammate like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, 828 ESPN 97.5, 925 713 780 3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, we'll get back to Astros talk. If you want to talk about your team, the Astros, let's go. Now's the time to get in here. Right now I'm talking about Artisan Grange. If you are somebody that is looking to get out of that, my son-in-law, I gave him some canisters this weekend because he likes to chew. He's given it up. He's got a daughter now, and he wants to wean himself from that stuff, get off of it because it's gross, you know, chewing tobacco. So I gave him some Dew Blend, and he was like, man, this dark fired is good. This stuff is good. The tastes are great. You've got citrus. You've got mint. You've got tobacco flavor. You've got dark fired. You've got everything. Any kind. I mean, it's unbelievable how many different flavors you've got. So if you're looking to get out of, you know, dipping and spitting and just being gross and hurting yourself physically, your health, there's a good – I mean – put something, some tobacco and nicotine in between your cheek and gum every day and see how that works out for you. Well, you put these pouches of hemp, made of hemp, with CBD oil. And he was like, yeah, I'm getting better because I've got CBD oil. And you're swallowing it as opposed to spitting it out. It's awesome. Look, you want to wean yourself off of that horrible habit that you have? Let's go. Go to 975dip.com. It's different. 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, doing just enough not to get fired.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Welcome back from the weekend, Houston. It's time to let's all get back to two white guys talking sports. Wow, that's a totally new concept. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
Glenn Davis agrees with us. Here's what he said. Great win for the U.S. last night. Reyna, a model citizen, plays excellent new role. Balogun is the striker needed. Richards scores. He played in Houston youth soccer. Richards did. How about that? This is positioning nicely. I said, yeah, we talked about it, and we think that they're in the World Cup semis. Has to be the target, he said. New role for Reyna, who was not lazy and worked defensively. I think maybe that's a wake-up call for Reyna, and Berhalter's going to get a, you know what, he's going to do whatever he has to do, whatever role Berhalter says, and shut up and play. Shut up and
yeah, because he came off, he and his parents came off pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
And which I think one of the problems was that his parents knew that Berhalter kind of threw him under the bus, but exposed him a little bit. But whatever, man, just win. We've been waiting a long time for the U.S. to – I feel like the U.S. has taken a step forward that they may not take any more step. This may cross a big hill. Getting the striker in, this may cross a big chasm. I've already thought about it. I may be renting my house out for World Cup.
There you know.
Yep, Airbnb my house out. Might be able to make some good money. You think about that? People in Edo, they might be able to Airbnb that.
Oh, yeah.
That sucker.
Any house, anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of, depending
on
how
many.
I'm
not that far from NRG. I could rent mine out.
Absolutely.
You know what I want a bunch of hooligans in there.
Yeah. If I do that, I'm going to make sure you can be over the age. You have to be over the age of 50. You can't be from England. I'm gonna have a lot of things.
Big picture. I would do it. My wife's like, oh yeah, that's what I want. Other people in our house for a week or a month, whatever. Beat it. They're not gonna be in my house. Okay.
No, that's not it. Wendy's not.
No, Wendy's not having that. All right. Our Astros lose again. Get swept by the Reds.
But you haven't mentioned the good news.
Scherzer, Verlander up next.
No,
that's not the good news.
Jiner Diaz
followed by the Dodgers. Okay.
No, Jiner Diaz had 3 hits yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
Jiner
Diaz had 3 hits yesterday. Other good news.
Jiner Diaz was 3 for 5.
Yep. Good news.
And you know what is, I mean, honestly, his OPS is 780. Get him in there. Good Lord.
You didn't mention that.
And when he plays, he bats him 5th or 6th as opposed to Maldonado that can't. And yet you sit him so many games, yet the guy who you play all the time, you know, can't bat higher than 9th in the order. His OPS is 560, is 200 points behind Jiner. Over 100, Jokes, who you play consistently, is well over 100 behind Jiner. I mean, it's just unbelievable, these lineups. It's just unbelievable. And yet, he continues to roll it out. And to me, Altuve gets 4 hits and then he sits yesterday. I mean, he finally gets going this month. He'd been awful this month, and he finally gets going. And I missed it. Before he had his oblique, Jose Altuve was leading off. Now he hasn't let off since then. Why? Is there a reason? Because I missed that.
No, I didn't see why that would be.
Why is that?
I don't know. When I saw Jokes leading off, I was like, huh, this is curious.
I don't understand.
It's one thing to lead off a Jeremy Pena or maybe even a Chaz McCormick. Jokes is like, okay.
But he has the recipe for winning. Altuve first, Pena second.
Why would you mess
Jordan
with
Jordan and then Bregman?
This is the whole Astros organization. For some reason, they went full on. Well, this is probably too old a reference, but they went full on Coke to New Coke. What are we doing? You had the recipe for ALCS appearances and World Series appearances. You had the recipe for sustainable lineups. A sustainable winning.
Well, I don't
know.
And
what did they do? For some reason, they decided, you know what? High-paid reliever that's not even a closer who's done it for 1 year, and this is his best year ever in the bigs. Let's give him a 3-year deal with way too much money. Okay. And look, we can't be hypocritical because everyone was all excited about Jose Abreu. Everyone was all excited about Jose Abreu. But when you looked into the numbers of the backside of his, the second half of last year with his age, It was not good. It was troubling. And the Astros, instead of going what they had previously done, which is 1 and 2 year deals with Yuli, they decided, especially a lot of 1 year deals, they decided to go with a 3 year deal for Abreu at his age and coming off of a bad second half. It's just, and so their approach was different on contract length. It was different with relievers. Usually a Montero walks. Look, we'll give you another year, maybe 2 years, but we're going to give you, you know, $8 million a year, $7.5 million a year. So 2 years, $14 million. 2 years, $15 million. Instead, they went 3 at 34. The Astros, we've seen this forever. Graveman, for example, they traded for him. They let him walk. They just say, no, we can go find guys.
Yeah.
And then we'll do – Dusty, this is the – look at this lineup.
Of all the guys, too, Montero. I mean, he had 1 year. You're right. 1 year. And you're throwing $34 million at him. Okay. But maybe I missed it. Maybe Twitter, you guys can help me. Did I miss the press conference where we Jose Altuve can't lead off anymore? Did I miss that one? Is Dusty give a reason for this?
I don't know that one.
I mean, I don't understand that. Why?
I don't know that one.
Why Jose Altuve all of a sudden had to bat second now? When we know that Jeremy Pena in the tool is a 900-plus OPS guy. And he's terrible in the sixth hole. We know this about him. And it doesn't have to be, I have to be a numbers nerd, ex-WOBA and all this stuff. I can see this with my human eyes. We won World Series with him batting second, with Jose Altuve leading off second. And if Jordan's not there, Kyle Tucker can bat third, and Bregman can bat fourth. We know this. We don't do it. I don't get that. What is the, okay, optimal lineup, period. This is what, if you had a World Series game today, this is your lineup.
Oh, easy. It's Altuve 1, Pena 2, with everyone healthy?
Yeah. No, with just right now.
Even right now, I would say Altuve 1, Pena 2. I would go Tucker 3. I'd go Bregman 4. I would go.
I think you still got to go Abreu 5.
I mean, I can't think of anyone else.
No, right?
And it's maybe, but this guy has got a 500 OPS.
Yeah.
Like, we have to?
No, it's all almost right. It's okay. Almost 600 now.
Okay. Okay. No, I'm gonna go.
No, it's over 600 now.
I'm going Diaz 5th. That's a lot to put a rookie in the 5th. I'll go Diaz. Here's what I'll do. I'll go Jeremy Pena 5 in the 2 hole.
Jeremy Pena's 2.
I know. I'm taking him out of there. I'm putting him 5 in the 2 hole.
Okay, Dusty.
Well, I'm trying to think. I don't want everything to be.
The dude, it's been 2. When he's in the 2 hole, he's a 900 plus OPS guy.
I don't want Abreu in an RBI position. The guy doesn't hit with any kind of pop.
No, he has. He's done.
You're literally having him. You got to have somebody at 5 that can actually clear the bases of these quality players.
Well, when Jordan gets back, that happens.
Yeah, I know. But right now.
Right now, I'm putting Abreu there. I'm putting Yiner then McCormick.
Do you think 2 is more important than 5? I think 5 is more important than 2 right now.
No, 2 is the most important position.
You're saying that, but
no,
the fact is, John,
it's true.
Your 3 and your 4 are going to get on base. You need a 5 to get them in.
Yeah, but it's true. 2 is much more important. Is more important.
Why?
Because you get more at bats.
You get more at bats, but you're driving. Look who you have in front of you. 1, which is great, but 9 and 8, not great.
Yeah, no, but
and that's not an R. And 2 is not an RBI position. 5 is an RBI position in this lineup.
Well, historically, Abreu is. Listen, it's not perfect.
I don't care.
You know when it's perfect is when Jordan is back. Then it's perfect.
Well,
because you got Kyle Tucker 5th.
But Dusty wasn't lying. He goes, we're going to try to find a way to win games without Jordan. We got to try to do that. Like, Dusty sounded down. Guess what? Ever since that happened, they can't win.
Mm-mm.
They don't win. Dusty was right. He knew what he was up against. When you look at this lineup, I would put a lighter hitter at 2 right now, and I would put a better hitter like Jeremy Pena at 5 and then have Abreu 6, maybe even put Abreu 2 and slot him in there. I mean, I hate saying that, but I might put Abreu 2 and hopefully he gets some looks behind. And that's actually not – I mean, frankly, if you just want to go off there, I'd rather have Abreu 7 in the Yuli spot. I'd rather have 6 Diaz, probably 5 Pena, and I'd put Chazzy at 2. I'd probably do something like that. Chaz or Jake it, too.
Because
I feel like I got better depth. In my lineup.
Altuve, 1. Pena, 2. Tucker, 3. Bregman, 4. Abreu, 5. Yiner, 6. McCormick, 7. Dubon, 8. And...
You know what? I might even go Dubon.
And Myers, 9.
I might even go Dubon 2 or Dubon 1 is probably actually what I would do.
He's coming back to earth. He's coming back to earth.
He's all right. I don't know.
I mean, he's still over 700 with his OPS, but his average is down to 286 when he was over 300 for most. He's coming back to earth. So,
Yeah, everyone's back to earth. Look at Alex Bregman.
Well, sometimes they rise. Their batting average rises. Like Yiner's, his average is actually rising. You know what's happening? Sometimes guys actually hit better as the season goes on. I don't know if you heard about that.
Well, Dubon has had an all-star caliber year this year. Why would you not have him in the top two? If you can have a run producer.
Well, he's not as good as
like the idea of Abreu in a 5 is no good for me. And you don't want to put Diaz 5 because he's a rookie. So, I mean, that's what makes it tricky for Dusty here. Dusty's job is much harder than you give it credit for.
Well, listen, Yiner doesn't mind a big situation. He came up with two outs in the ninth inning.
The big situation is a relative term right now for him. He hasn't faced really big situations.
No, not yet.
You told me World Series.
Right.
I mean... That's a lot.
No. And you know what? Who's been there and done that? Well, not World Series, but Jose Abreu. Okay? So, and he's going to hit.
No, he's not. Quit saying that.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, his hitting. He has hit. He has hit lately, but is he going to hit?
Stop. What does the dude have to do for you? What's his June numbers?
What does he have to do for me? He has to approach 700 as an OPS.
Okay.
He's been better in June. Not a lot of power, but he's been better in June.
What are you talking about, not a lot of power?
Well, he does have a couple
He's
home
got
runs.
A 781 OPS in June.
Just in
June. 477 slugging. 477 slugging. Is not enough for you? Okay.
Oh, 477
slugging. Yeah, that's not bad. That's right. He's only struck out 19 times this month. Wow, that's a lot. Seems like a lot. Okay. He's coming through in June, and here you are still poo-pooing him. Like I don't know if you heard, he doesn't shine shoes no more like he did in April and May.
June's been better.
Okay, thanks. 8:46, about time you gave a little love to Jeff Bagwell. 8:46, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm giving some love. I was like worried. Turned the shower off last night. It kept on dripping. I'm like, oh, no, I got to call Billy again. Billy's going to be like, oh, you again? It's you again with the calling me? Can you stop? But I don't know, for whatever reason, I never needed a plumber in my life. And then all of a sudden, I needed one like every week for about 3 months. But it was, and every single time they came, it was like, bing, 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 this is it, that's it, boom, and we're fixed. And they're unbelievable. Here's the deal, is you may never, I don't know when the last time you needed a plumber, but if you need one, all right, we got it. 281-488-6238. Best plumbers you're going to possibly find.
When you need one, man, you need one, whether it's an emergency or whether it's something. Hey, it could just be for some of your remodeling stuff, too. And you need plumber to come in. They'll do that for you. So they'll handle the small jobs, the larger jobs. They do a great job. It's my friends over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company, John and I, and we highly recommend them. Make sure that you use them. Call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
Weary ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Thriving on chaos.
I'm here to kill chaos. That's my chaos.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John Zerline and Lance Zerline on ESPN 97.5 and 92 Zerline.
All right, welcome back to 92 Zerline here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about Chris Paul coming here? So, Chris Paul in a trade. One of the worst, I don't know, I can't even describe. If I'm a Washington Wizards fan, which there are 12 of them, I don't know. Could you imagine a worse trade than, I mean, it's all just a money dump. That's mm-hmm. all. I mean, can you imagine a worse trade than
really
Chris Paul for Bradley Beal?
This is really bad.
Who's not, Chris Paul's not going to play a minute there.
No, he's not going to want to stay there. They're going to have to buy him out. Basically, Washington just was able to get out from under Bradley Beal's contract.
What about Chris Paul here?
I mean, I would love Chris Paul here. I just don't, I mean, in theory, but, you know, he is going to, we were worried about his injuries. I worry less about it when you're not a playoff team and you're a short-term guy. But I don't know that Chris Paul, who's expected to be here, what, 1 year, 2 years, is that really going to, Udoka would like him, I think, but would the rest of the team like Chris Paul? Would he be able to get along with these guys? He's way older than most of these players. He's family man. They're young guys out on the town. I just don't know that it'd be a good fit from a cultural standpoint. I think it'd be great in theory. I think he'd give them what they need on the court. I think the basketball stuff is great in theory. I just have questions about whether or not 30-something-year-old Chris Paul barking at the young guys and trying to, you know, get them to buy into basketball like he buys into it. I just don't know if it's going to work.
Chris Paul to the Clippers is what's being said. I don't know. I think it's probably the Lakers. We'll see.
Well, yeah, unless you end up with – is there still the Kyrie talk there? No, that's all dead.
Chris Paul back to the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George?
Chris Paul to the Lakers would make some sense, except for the fact that it's just, you know, old team getting older, which tends to happen when your star is an older player. A lot of times they just feel comfortable with older players, guys who they're friends with. And so that'd be a concern for me as a Laker fan. You get a lot older with Chris Paul and he doesn't hold up in the playoffs. But I don't know. I'm excited about the fact that I know the Rockets are going to get a good player this year. They have to. They have to spend. So they're either going to trade for somebody. I wouldn't surprise me if KJ Martin gets traded because there's or even Jayshon Tate, maybe both of them, because I think there is going to be a market for those guys as bench players. I don't think there'll be a market for Porter. I think there would be a market for Jalen and Şengün, but I don't want to deal either one of those guys if you don't have to. So but you do have to spend a bunch of money. So I think, I mean, you're going to get a good player. You're going to get somebody who helps you this year in free agency. And I'm really curious, would you entertain at all DeAndre Ayton? I mean, he gives you a shot blocker, a rebounder. He hasn't always been happy. Would you look at Ayton?
So if I'm the Suns, I'm definitely looking at it. Did you see between Booker, Durant, Beal, and Ayton, their cap number
they gotta move
is 162.9. You know what the cap is next year?
What is it?
162.
Yeah. No, they're gonna have to move.
They're gonna have to move some probably.
What's the negatives, RJ, on what would the negatives be on DeAndre Ayton as a Rocket?
Why do I feel like he feels that he could be a star center in the league? I think he looks at a guy like Joel Embiid and says, I can be that, or not, you know, not everything, all the tools that he has, but I can somewhat be what Joel Embiid is, and I can be that centerpiece of a team. And now he's kind of been relegated since, you know, when Chris Paul was there and you also had Devin Booker. More of a guy that was probably give you a Tyson Chandler type feel, rebound, block shots, rim run, and I don't think he thinks he's that kind of guy. So I think when he went.
But he's that kind of guy.
But he is. Yeah. But for him, I think he thinks that, you know, hey, I could be, if not an MVP-type player, you know, for a team, I could certainly be the first, if not second-best player on a young, up-and-coming roster. But on a championship team, yeah, what he's going to be is a guy that's, hey, do what God bless you to do, rebound, block shots, and rim run. And I think in Phoenix now, especially with the Beal trade, he really does feel like the odd man out.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got to get rid of salary, it's going to be him.
I don't know how he fits here in Houston, to be honest, because I think when you have a guy like Şengün that you feel like is your guy of the future, like I feel like that's a double whammy for him.
What if they ask you, Ayton for Şengün?
No.
No, thank you.
No. Not you wouldn't even
Although
remotely
they,
consider that. Not even remotely.
I'm telling you, I don't think that the organization is worried about Shangun's defense.
If you want to lose your entire fan base, I can tell you this, Udoka likes Shangun. And Udoka already said, oh my gosh, this kid's really talented.
Well, Tari just said he hit a growth spurt.
Yeah. So supposedly, because Jalen was wrecking 5'4" players out on the court. Did you see that this weekend? I know you did,
Plumbers.
RJ. Who was that guy?
He was a plumber.
A literal plumber?
No, but I think it was
Might
like
as well
some guy from like Google offices or something.
Just some little guy. But Jalen looked bigger to me. He looked like he's gained weight. I don't know if it's good weight, but I hope so. I hope it is, because Jalen looks like he's really starting to fill out his frame a little bit. So supposedly he's bigger and stronger this year. And they say Shingun has gotten taller, which is not crazy for a 20-year-old to keep to gain another inch.
No.
So supposedly 2021, so supposedly Shingun is even taller right now. You deal Shingun, it will be one of the biggest disasters in the history of the Rockets. If you trade Shingun, you're giving up a guy who has special, special talent. You are a fool. The Rockets are fools if they give him up. He showed it to you. This isn't even a projection. He's a great passer. He's got moves around the basket, good footwork, really high basketball IQ. I get that. I don't know. Like, I get defensively he's not great, and I also get the fact that I don't know what his work ethic is and things like that. But a guy who's that talented in the low post, when we're seeing, when we just saw what Jokic did for Denver. We just see that the big men who are, you know, the quality big men who are in the league, or a lot of the best teams have good big men now. You don't give up guys like Shingun. You don't do, if you're doing it, it has to be part of a package for a superstar. Not a star, a superstar.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'm moving Shingun is,
I'm
is
hearing
if it's
more
a superstar.
And more and more Dylan Brooks. Here's Kelly Eco. And let me ask you this question. Is I know they gotta spend $47 million just to hit the floor of their NBA salary cap. The floor is $47 million they have to spend. Here's what Dylan Brooks is going to make this year, according to Kelly Eco.
Yeah, so with Dylan, if I'm a betting man, I would say that he probably gets a raise from, I think he made $12 million this year.
Uh-huh. I'll look it up for you.
I think he could conceivably make 17, 18 on this market.
Who was he talking about?
Dylan Brooks, 17 or 18 million.
We'll see what the market bears. Like, the market, we'll see if there is a market. You know, we'll see what the market looks like. I understand when you look at the numbers, but 17, 18 doesn't feel crazy, to be honest with you.
It feels crazy to me.
It does?
Are you kidding? Yes. Yes.
I think Dylan Brooks, I think you're thinking a little bit about the Dylan Brooks that's kind of, well, he didn't shoot well, but you're thinking about the Dylan Brooks that was kind of embarrassed on the way out of the playoffs. But Dylan Brooks does some good things too. I mean, he defends, he can defend multiple positions. He's a pretty good defender. He's strong. I don't love that he doesn't
Under
shoot.
No circumstances will we bring Dylan Brooks back.
Yeah, I think you got to remember now, Dylan Brooks
so
is with Ja Morant.
Let's give him $18 million.
Dylan and Ja were together. Yeah. Maybe that was not a great combination.
Here's Kelly Eco on the potential of KJ Martin being moved.
Yeah, I think if they were to move a guy, that would be, you know, the most likely candidate, because he understands similar how he was last year, that when you look at the roster and his position, there's probably going to be a logjam pretty soon, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, whoever you bring in is going to push other guys down. Whoever you sign in free agency is going to push other guys down. If you trade for somebody, it's going to push other guys down. And he's at a position in his career where he wants to play, you know, as many minutes as possible. That might not be possible in Houston, you know, for like the minutes he's looking for. So,
courtesy of I'm going to say Brad and Will, the Brad and Will show. I know it's,
yeah.
I think it's Brad O or Brad U.
Yeah.
But shout out to them. Oh, yeah. Kelly Eagles on their podcast.
He's a good follow, by the way, if you're not following him. He's a good Rockets follow. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. You know who else is a good follow? Okay. QC Kinetics.
Yeah. Wow. So I got another success story the other day was sent to me in direct message. Really happy to hear. But a guy with a back issue that he had had a back issue for a long time, and they said it was in the joint he was having an issue, and they were going to have to do surgery. And he decided to take a shot at QC Kinetics first before he went into any kind of surgery. And he found, and this was really mostly about just relieving the chronic pain. And this is what they do. It's regenerative restorative medicine, right? So a lot of times people take steroid shots to reduce inflammation. It only lasts a certain amount of time, and it goes back to the way it was. You can have surgeries. You could take pain pills, which can lead to some negative issues, obviously. And obviously, when you have surgery, you miss your, you know, time at work, things like that. With QC Kinetics, they use all natural biological therapies. They concentrate the nature, the body's natural healing elements, and they put it back into the joint. And what happens in a high percentage of people is the pain is reduced immensely because it regenerates and restores damaged tissue. And the difference is astonishing for a lot of people because they find that they can live life without that chronic pain they had been dealing with. And for many people, they start to get mobility back, and it can really have a big impact on your ability to just go out and live life and do the things you love to do. So make sure that QC Kinetics is a company that you're calling and you're looking into them. Brand new location as well out in the Cypress area. You've got Sugarland, the Woodlands, you've got the Heights. Phone number 713-913-5285. This is a big change in your life. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them, fresh and juicy, ready for the picking.